Hello, my name is Martin Kelly. I'm senior editor here at Friends Journal. And this month, the issue is on gender and sexuality. And with me is Cody Gabriel Hirsch. Thank you for coming, Cody.
Yeah.
Cody's article is A Gospel of Quaker Sexuality. Cody is a member of Southeastern Yearly Meeting, living in Philadelphia, the Germantown section of Philadelphia. So thanks for coming here, Cody. My first question here, sex is private. Why do we have to talk about this?
I think it's really important to have conversations about sex because other people are gonna. Mm-hmm. And if we don't participate in those conversations, they're gonna be dominated by dominant culture messages about what sexuality is or should be, by conservative religious voices about what sexuality is and what it should be. And I think that I think Quakers have a unique voice potentially in the conversation about what sexuality should look like and what sexual ethics should be like. I think that the world needs that voice, and I think that Quakers need it. You know, like, we all need the guidance and support of our communities in making sure that our lives are in alignment with our values and beliefs.
Sure. And I like how, you know, you really grounded this in Quaker sort of testimonies, traditional testimonies, but sort of gave logical extensions to those that we sometimes often forget. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure.
Thinking nonviolence and that you were talking about.
One of the things I talk about in the piece is hearing a lot about the peace testimony growing up in Quaker community, but not ever hearing that connected to the culture of sexual violence and rape culture that kind of saturates the context that I live in as a U.S. American. And so that's a critical piece, you know. Like, if we want to talk about violence and about how we confront and transform violence in the world, we have to also be talking about sexual violence. I think that's hard because it's closer. I think it can feel a little bit easier to say that violence over there is bad, but sexual violence is so intimate and so permeates so many people's lives and communities. It's closer and harder and feels more complicated in some ways, but totally essential to actually practicing peace in the world is talking about sexual violence and talking about consent and teaching consent. And that's just an example, because I really don't think there's any Quaker value that doesn't have some impact on how we think about sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're thinking about earth care and stewardship, we have to be thinking about reproduction and how that plays into our decisions about how to care for the earth and our carbon footprint. And if we're thinking about equality, we have to be thinking about how people are often treated differently in the world based on their sexual orientation or their gender identity. Mm-hmm. We have to be thinking about how we create equality within our intimate relationships, mm-hmm. How to be honest about those social categories and how they play in, and what kind of egalitarian relationships we want to build for ourselves, how to do that in a different model than the one that we're given by society. Mm-hmm. I've never encountered anything really core to Quaker faith that has nothing to do with my experience of sexuality.
You know? Sure. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because before I got very involved with Quakers, I was very involved with nonviolence theory and publishing. And, for me, I gravitated toward it in part because it also talked about the whole realm of everything, that you could use this lens to talk about ecology and sexuality and everything. And sounds like you're taking sexuality and using it to encompass everything as well. So it's that same, you know, we can't just get stuck in these like quick, easy answers that we have. We really have to extend these values out. Sounds like a common thread. Another question here, I sometimes wonder here if you're, willfully ignoring scripture, that, if we just throw out Leviticus, we're going to have people wearing cloths of different garments of different cloths. You know, we're going to have fleece and leather together, and really, it could be a problem. Have you thought about what that would do to the children, Cody? And for you, those of you not following along at home, Cody has done a really wonderful bingo of Quaker sexuality and posted it to his Facebook. And it's all the sort of questions that one might expect after this article. And I just congratulate you for doing this, because it's a real great way of sort of coping with, you know, some grief that you probably will get. But there are also, some of these are very funny, and one is willfully ignoring scripture. And the first question I asked you also, sex is private, that was one. And so I'm trying to check off all of the categories of kind of questions that you might get in this interview.
Thanks, Martin.
So there you go. But I know, you know, we had to also cut you down to fit into a Friends Journal article. And I'm sure you're going to be writing more in pamphlets and books and, you know, maybe your own Netflix series someday. But what are some of the other sort of parts that you are exploring now or would like to explore that you weren't able to because of space?
So the article is a condensed version of a talk that I gave at Haverford College in September called Having Sex Like a Quaker. And I cut almost the entire section on joy, which was a little painful. And I cut a lot of information about myself and where I'm coming from personally, which reading over the article recently, I regretted a little bit, because I think it is super important for us to acknowledge where we come from in these situations,
like short context,
what identities shape our perspectives on sexuality and what experiences shape that perspective. And I think a lot of times people are talking out of those things without acknowledging them openly. So I was sorry that a lot of that went. I had a really funny to me section on like my gender identity and my experience of my own sexuality, which I think, particularly if you don't know me at all, helps kind of place where I'm coming from. But it's also, you know, like the things on the bingo card are half a joke, but are half like me preparing myself to deal with some potentially really tender things about myself being questioned. Like I don't ignore scripture. Scripture is really precious to me. It's really important in my spiritual life. And I really want to engage in good faith with people who disagree with me about things related to sexuality. But a lot of that disagreement often comes in the form of people questioning the validity of things that are really basic to my identity and experience. Sure. So there's some like preparation for me that has to happen to get ready to handle those as lightly and compassionately as I can.
Right, you have to stay grounded when some pretty tough questions will come. Well, I'm very grateful that you did. I think that one way that that society does evolve and people like learn new stuff is by people standing up and talking about it and, you know, not just being, you know, sort of Facebook threads where we sort of all know each other. It's going to be somewhat supportive and, you know, sort of putting yourself out there. So thank you for that. It's important to do. Your bingo card had 25 slots here. How many of them have been, and you had three empty ones, but how many have you experienced now in comments?
I think I'm at four so far. Okay. It hasn't been bad yet, but I'm, you know, waiting in anticipation.
What are some of the questions that have been hardest of those four? Like what are some of the ones that you've been hearing? What are Friends Journal readers and sort of wider audience members wrestling with?
I think it's most painful for me when people try to draw parallels between queer sexuality or polyamory or other kind of non-normative sexualities and really exploitative sexualities or sexual violence.
Sure.
I think that's the thing that gets most tender for me, particularly as somebody who works with kids, mm-hmm. Who advocates for kids, who has cared for people in situations of facing sexual violence. That's the one that just, like, I have trouble handling.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and, you know, I mean, I do hear stories of, in the past, Quakers having sexual violence, and it's the people who often look the most normative, you know, who you wouldn't expect, and, you know, everyone's shocked like that. So, you know, I'm really glad that you're bringing this up and talking about this, because, you know, I've heard stories, and, you know, these things don't really come out for like 20 years, and a lot of damage has been done. I mean, we're not like the abuse scandals elsewhere, but there have been issues, and you have to wonder if part of it is just we're not, you know, willing to talk about sexuality. And so we let these sort of behaviors go, and we don't think about it. So it seems like one way of addressing that is to have, you know, you and others come forward and talk about what is gender, what is sexuality, and how do all these come together?
Yeah. So. And, you know, I've heard a lot of stories that are really personal and really private stories. Mm-hmm. So I can't tell those stories.
Yeah.
But I can tell people that sexual violence is a problem within Quakerism, and that we need to be real about that. Which we can't, we're not going to be able to do anything to transform those dynamics unless we can talk about them and acknowledge that they're there.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, thanks for doing that. We don't have too much time left, but I did want to get a little chance of telling us about Joy. What's the condensed version of Joy? Leave us with a little bit of Joy that we should have in sexuality, Quaker gospel sexuality.
I think one of my favorite things that I cut from the article was talking about joy and playfulness, mm-hmm. and the way that I think we often leave playfulness and imagination behind us in childhood, and, you know, have to like get serious as adults, but. Yeah, exactly. I should button that top button there.
But we can't be serious here in our interview, of course.
But we still have some sense, I think, a lot of us, of the potential for play and imagination in sexuality, mm-hmm. and the space that, like, you know, desire just stubbornly resists attempts to flatten it out, straighten it up, put it into little boxes, make it behave well. You know, like, it's, desire is funny and weird, and like sex is funny and weird. Mm-hmm. And I remember like my first sexual experiences as just being full of laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And at kind of like figuring out the silliness and awkwardness. And that's been really precious for me. It's been actually really central in my spiritual life. I tend to be a kind of serious person, mm-hmm. And sexuality as a whole, and, queerness as a space of play with the traditional categories, and, mm-hmm. You know, like my pink hair and my glitter suspenders feel like mm-hmm. playful expressions of.
You should lean in there so we can see
the glitter. They do glitter. I don't know.
If oh, yes,
you can
I see
that,
it now.
But mm-hmm. Yeah. Those sources of play and joy and like being present to the remarkable fluidity and complexity and silliness. And that's something that I think sexuality can potentially help us access as adults if we have lost that somewhere along the way. And that's a thing that I think is was pretty awesome of God to gift us with that avenue.
Sure. Well, as the old line goes, God, we know God loves us because God gave us bodies. God wants us to laugh because God gave us bodies. So
it's
very true. Well, and there's more here for French Journal readers. And this article is open for everyone. Again, A Gospel of Quaker Sexuality, Cody Gabriel Hirsch. So thank you for joining us here
Thanks,
on the YouTube. And we'll see you more, and maybe follow-up articles. You can have a follow-up on joy.
Cool.
Just put that in your ear, as, of course, you know, then pamphlets and books in the original Netflix series.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is on the way, so.
Yeah, I was just working on it this morning, actually.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Well, we'll tweet that out as soon as that goes up. So good. Thanks, Cody.
Okay, thanks, Martin.
Bye-bye. Bye.